You're listening to IPL 2021 Hotspot Special Edition, powered by Earshot.in. Wins for Chennai Super Kings and Delhi Capitals take them to the top of the points table. Royal Challengers dethroned and falling to number three for the first time in IPL this season. Hello and welcome to this latest episode of Hotspot Special Edition IPL 2021, powered by Earshot.in. As always, I'm your host Chetan Narula, and with me, my friend from London, BBC commentator Daniel Norcross. Daniel, what did you make of this weekend's games, which have caused an upset in the table?
Well, the double header was an extraordinary day of cricket, really, wasn't it? We saw some fantastic hitting, we saw some fantastic bowling, and we saw some baffling decisions being made, I thought. I'm no doubt we'll come to it. It's not just my English hat on. I couldn't understand why Johnny Bairstow didn't walk out to bat in the over. We saw some sumptuous batting from Kane Williamson. I mean, I was lucky enough to be calling that game. And it was all about the selection, the moment he chose to pounce. And he always did it with such clinical efficiency. It was a delight to watch. I was also just massively impressed by some of the bowling on show. And I've got to say, I'm concerned for the teams at the bottom, because I think the likes of Kolkata Knight Riders, Sunrisers, Hyderabad would have been hoping that CSK wouldn't be having such a good season. And it's going so well for them that you expect the Mumbai Indians to click into gear. It makes those other four teams at the bottom feel like they're starting to get becalmed. So we're going to need to see some upset soon, or there are going to be some sides that are just running away with it and some that really are going to be toast before we've even reached halfway.
Today's episode, we'll be talking about the top half of the table: Chennai Super Kings, Delhi Capitals, RCB and Mumbai Indians. Mumbai Indians played on Friday, failed to win. That doesn't always happen. They've only won two matches this season, three of them lost. Pretty close games, not very high-profile games. Their run rate is very manageable at the moment, but it's negative 0.032. So they're not very far off from the positive range. They'll be happy from the fact that they have finished their five matches in Chennai and can just take the flight away now and go on and play. Well, they're moving to Delhi. The conditions in Delhi aren't always batting friendly, but right now, anything will be better than Chennai. Any damn thing.
Oh, yes. I mean, look, those conditions didn't suit them, and they could have actually won four out of five. They won two out of five. They've had some close calls there, and you just think the quality in their side means they are going to come good. You're absolutely right. I mean, Chennai, I think most teams were happy to get out of Chennai, which is strange because obviously some sides prospered there more than others. But it was quite unpredictable, wasn't it? I mean, those pitches we thought were just going to get tireder and tireder. But actually yesterday, we saw that with good batting, and I guess guys are beginning to adapt, aren't they, having played on those surfaces for a bit longer. So those scores were actually strangely starting to go upwards in direction rather than down, which you might have expected the opposite to happen as the pitches became more tired and more mottled. But I guess that's sort of testament to the adaptability of the modern T20 player. For Mumbai, they've started a few IPLs poorly in the past and they come roaring through. They've got such quality in their side. And that's really why I feel, you know, nervousness for the sides below them, because you expect Mumbai to go on a run. That's where like Chennai, I think, come under the spotlight, because remember after the first game, I think we were both of us a little bit concerned about the age of their side, the adaptability of it, the fact that they wouldn't be playing in their familiar home conditions. And they've got a team that's very much set up for that. But then, you know, you get a performance like Ravindra Jadeja's the other day. Oh. He was so far and away better than everybody else. I mean, I saw the fantasy points table on that. I don't always take a lot of notice of that. But by the end, I think he had 236 and the next nearest challenger had like 76. It was unbelievable performance. He was everywhere, fielding, bowling. And, you know, we've got to talk about that last over, because the last over of that innings, I don't think I've ever seen an over transform the nature of a game so completely. You think about poor old Harshal Patel. He started that over having taken 3 for 14. He finished it having taken 3 for 51. What?
That was a crazy turnaround. And just before coming to Chennai Super Kings, one last word for Mumbai Indians. Their next four games is in Delhi. Better conditions, better pitches, maybe. They will be on the slower side, having seen a lot of IPL games in Delhi myself. The par score is somewhere around 160, 180. It's not higher than what Chennai offers. It was offering 140 to 160, especially playing the first few games in Delhi. They probably will encounter harder pitches, and only then they will start deteriorating or going on the slower side. So some semblance of what Mumbai Indians do, they can get that back and maybe get themselves back into form. I think it's imperative for their middle order to get back into form, to get those runs. The middle order has just not been able to come to terms. You're looking at Kiran Pollard or Kunal Pandya or Hardik Pandya, the powerhouse, you know, the big hitters. They weren't able to score too many runs in Chennai, and that was the main reason for losing those three games. Yes, talking about Chennai now, that crazy last over from Ravindra Jadeja. I think there's a lot of debate in world cricket about various issues, but I think the one thing that we can all agree on is that Ravindra Jadeja is the best all-rounder in the world at the moment. He can do everything. I was wondering, could he cure COVID on Sunday evening? Because he had that magical touch. I don't want to sound insensitive, you know, given the situation that's prevalent in India, but I'm just talking from a cricketing analogy. He had the magical touch, didn't he? He was bowling, he was fielding, he was batting those 37 runs. Like you said, just change the complexion of the game. And that's what we need, not in India, but also across the world concerning this pandemic. We need something magical to change the momentum, to change the flow. And for a moment, I thought Ravindra Jadeja could do it because he had the magical touch on Sunday.
He was everywhere, and he was, and everything he did, he was doing perfectly. I mean, the direct hits, there was never any doubt when the ball went to him in the field, he was going to hit the stumps. I mean, I think he's probably hit the stumps direct more often than the entire England team put together, a World Cup winning England team who are notoriously a little bit shy of hitting the stumps. But, you know, he is like having 10 fielders that are all him. The ball just seems to be attracted to him. When he came on to bowl, the RCB were really putting up strong challenge to that total, you know, 192. And I thought, you know, with the power that they'd got, they were going to get there. He doesn't just take wickets. He gets crucial wickets at crucial times. The likes of AB de Villiers, Glenn Maxwell. And then with the bat, you know, look, he hit four sixes off the first three legitimate balls. That is of the last over. That is like almost, impossible. We know it isn't because of cricket and no balls, but four sixes off the first three legitimate balls. And he transformed the kind of, people talk a lot about momentum. He did more than that because of his presence and because he's such a confident cricketer and he's such a charismatic cricketer. He is, for my money, the best all-rounder in world cricket. He should be playing in every format for India and for CSK. He's got to play every game. He is just has limitless sort of capacity to affect a game of cricket. And that is a wonderful gift to have.
What I wanted to say about Ravindra Jadeja is that he's the quintessential MS Dhoni player. I remember in the early stages of my career covering the game, MS Dhoni talked about in such high spirits or such high praise for Ravindra Jadeja. And the one thing that was missing from his game was his batting, that Dhoni time and again would say, you know, the day he develops that extra bit in his batting, the talent is all there because he had three triple hundreds in domestic cricket. Are you kidding me? But for the international level, his batting was not all there. And there's a huge gap between playing on, you know, surfaces where the ball doesn't go above knee level and playing international cricket. So Dhoni recognized that gap and said that, you know, when he makes that step up from domestic to international level, he is going to be the quintessential all-rounder because he has the bowling, he has the fielding. So we just need to wait for the step up. I'm not saying the step up has come now. It's been there all that time. He's performed with the bat in tests, in ODIs, in T20s. So now we are seeing the refined version of the all-rounder that Jadeja can be. So for me, having seen his development throughout, he is the quintessential MS Dhoni player. Looking at Chennai Super Kings' next matches, they're playing in Delhi as well, four matches in Delhi. One of the major games will be Chennai Super Kings versus Mumbai Indians. And I think that's going to be important for both sides, because for my money, Mumbai Indians are the most are the strongest team in the competition. Chennai Super Kings, I still think they are a sum of parts. They're an average side on paper because right now the parts are clicking, so they are on the top of the table. This game is going to decide a lot of things for both sides, whether Mumbai Indians are able to get that momentum, Chennai Super Kings, whether they can continue being top of the table. This is the El Clasico of the IPL. It's a 27th match on the 1st of May. Now let's talk about number three, Royal Challengers Bangalore. What happened to them, Daniel? Flying high, now suddenly at number three. It's all happened in the duration of one game. Their run rate has taken a bit of a hit. It was plus one before the game against Chennai. Now it's plus 0.096. Let me just put it out there. We have discussed this so many times. If ever there was a game where AB de Villiers should have come at number three, they were 41 for one in 3.1 overs. Devdutt Padikkal had given them a superb start. Virat Kohli got out. They should have sent AB de Villiers. They sent Washington Sundar. Then AB de Villiers came into bat in the seventh over. By then, they were already 60 for three in 192 chase. Damage was already done. So this is where you need somebody like AB de Villiers. You need a proper batsman at number three. You can't have makeshift batsmen throwing their bats around at number three. It is sucking the momentum out of Royal Challengers Bangalore's innings. They have to change this, don't they?
Well, I think so. I mean, I've said this a couple of times. He's one of the, if not the best all-round T20 batter in the world. And having him at number five is perilous, actually, because whether you're batting first or batting second, you can't be sure that you're going to get the most out of him. So three is the obvious place for him. And yesterday was the obvious time, especially after they'd taken out battering, after you've got the momentum shift of a 37-run last over. You want to punch back. And de Villiers going in at three was the obvious thing. I don't quite know why they're insisting on it. I get the theory being that it gives you a bit of ballast. It's sort of, you've got Kohli at the top and you've got AB de Villiers at five, and that makes you feel more secure because you've got a top one and a five, and that's sort of like, I guess it just lengthens the power. But I don't believe in that as a theory myself. To me, in T20, you put your best batters up near the top. Washington Sundar at three was a baffling choice. I think they're not going to be too alarmed about what happened in the game overall. It was a one-off. They were Jadeja'd. We've discussed it already. He was so far and away.
That's a great term, Jadeja'd.
And they're not going to come up against him every day. They've still got, I think, a tremendously strong team. And I think their bowling attack, again, you know, that they could easily have restricted CSK to 170 in that game. And on that pitch, then there wouldn't have been quite that pressure. It would have been much harder for CSK to have exerted it with the ball on that surface. So, you know, I think there's no real panic going to set into RCB. I think it's an anomaly of the group system that they're down at three, having been at number one. They can get back on track with a win or two. But by the same token, they're not used to winning. So if they were to lose a couple more perhaps in a row, then confidence issues might come into it. And there might be a bit of concern, agitation. Virat Kohli might get a bit too sort of desperate to win. And that can sometimes, you know, translate itself into anxiety on the field of play. But for the time being, RCB fans, no need to panic.
Well, RCB will be moving on to Ahmedabad, where they'll be playing their next few games. And when I say few games, that's at least three games before they move on to Kolkata. What RCB don't want is panic in their team selection. They need to regain their winning touch. And that's something that we have seen from RCB. They lose their winning touch and it all goes downhill from there. Mind you, we're just only finishing the second week of this competition. So there's a lot of games to be played. Delhi Capitals, finalists last year, knockouts. They were in the knockouts the previous year as well. There is something about that team that is really clicking. Ricky Ponting is making it look like machinery. Changes in captain, changes a bit in personnel, but they have a really good bench strength to back up their first 11. And that is something in franchisee cricket, when you look at it, CSK have done it over the years. Mumbai Indians have done it over the years. So Delhi Capitals are really building something there. It's a great model and it's working now thrice in a row, or ever since they had that captaincy change. Shreyas Iyer came in 2.5 years ago, or 3.5 years ago, really. what have they done right in this tournament? Shikhar Dhawan obviously came as a bargain because he left Sunrisers Hyderabad. Now he's top of the charts. But it's also the others. Prithvi Shaw, he's making his presence felt. Rishabh Pant, I think he's leading the troops well on the field. He's showing that desire that he's shown in his improvement as a batsman, as a keeper. And their bowling attack is gelling well. You know, you have Rabada back. Avesh Khan has been a revelation in terms of an Indian name in the attack, and he's using the slower ones, using the variations really well. Delhi Capitals are looking good for the money at the moment.
Well, I love their method. I love the fact that they look like they have developed a method over the last few seasons, and it's a repeatable one. You mentioned a couple of crucial elements of their side. It's got to be Shikhar Dhawan in great form and playing with a smile on his face. Yesterday, Prithvi Shaw was just a delight to watch. When you see him playing those shots, you wonder why he hasn't scored more. You know, he's such a glorious talent, such a beautiful striker of a ball. And, you know, Akshar Patel is going to be a handful on many pitches. He bowls at a great pace. He does extract some turn, but he's got this wonderful slider that comes on. He's very hard to get underneath and to get away. He's a tall bowler. In IPL, that's an extremely handy thing to have. When they get onto more responsive pitches, they've still got Kahisa Rabada. He doesn't take wickets in the power play, but he takes plenty of them at the back end of the innings. I like the way they're set up. They don't look to me like the sort of side that's going to go on a losing streak. Yes, they'll lose games, but I can't see them losing three or four in a row. You know what I mean? I can see them losing the odd one. I see them bouncing back. They look a confident side, and Rishabh Pant is, look, we know what he is. He's box office. He seems to be really enjoying, well, he always does enjoy what he does, but people were a bit concerned at the start of this IPL season that it was heaping a bit too much on him. You know, a carefree spirit. Does he need the travails of captaincy? Well, it hasn't seemed to bother him. He's got plenty of experienced players around him that are helping him out. He doesn't seem to feel pressure ever. As for that super over, I mean, it was an incredible game. And in a way, Sunrisers shouldn't have been a super over if it hadn't been for some incredible hitting from Sucheet at the end, as well as an innings for the ages from Kane Williamson. I mentioned it at the top of the show.
Oh, yeah.
It was, you know, his ability to think so clearly in the moment and to select the ball that needs to go, but without any great fuss. There's something sort of liquid and delicious about the way he played. He got them into that super over, but then they kind of blew it, because really it was Akshar versus Rashid Khan, two top-notch spinners up against each other as the bowlers. But you'd think Rashid Khan would just have the edge. And he might have done had David Warner not gone out to bat. I mean, look, there was also the one short. That game had everything. I mean, you could write a thesis on that match.
You know, for what it's worth, I thought it was not the best of super overs. I put out a question on Twitter. Is it the worst super over ever? It was always going to be about Rashid Khan versus Akshar Patel. But with the batting might on display from both Sunrisers and Delhi Capitals, I thought maybe it could have been a bit better. Maybe there could have been a few extra sparks, especially if Johnny Bairstow had taken the crease in that super over. That brings us to the end of this particular episode. We'll be coming back to you soon with the next set of matches. Until next time, this is Chetan Narula and Daniel Norcross signing off. Goodbye.
Goodbye.